And perhaps that's one of the places where there's going to be like schools of prophecy. I mean, we're just touching the beginnings today in terms of learning to hear God's voice, but the Church of Jesus Christ so desperately needs the prophets, the really prophetic people whose ministry, whose office is the prophetic. You know, so in other words, I believe that all of us can hear God's voice as God's children. We have a birthright. John 10:6, my sheep will hear my voice. That's the birthright of all of God's people. But it doesn't mean that we'll all be prophets. There'll be some who will be particularly gifted in this ministry. And there's a number of you that are beginning to really press into that. I know that partly naturally and partly prophetically. And I wonder if we could just pray for you. I think I had a real sense that there was a group here of women that were just part of something else. And when I was speaking to the lady with the peach top on, I said, I've learned, haven't I? That I was really talking about prophetic intercession, really, a sense of praying back to the Lord that which He shows us. And by the way, if the Lord starts to show you things, some of them can be quite painful and quite a burden. And the only way to then live with that is to release that burden back to the Lord in intercession. Otherwise, we get completely overwhelmed by the struggles and the warfare and the pain of the world. But there's a number of you just feel we're being led in your prayers for the world, your kingdom come prayers, really, by the Lord showing you what to pray. And I found there was a group here somewhere, and there was a group over here as well of people. Is that right? Is there a number of you really feeling you need to press into like an intercession for the area and for prophet, and you're really prophesying and hearing from the Lord? Can you just wave a hand if that speaks to you? Yeah, a number there, okay, there. Is there some here as well? Can you just stand up? If you just wave a hand at me, just stand up where you are, please. If you can, if you're able to, that'd be great. Can we just pray for you? Because I think, I just want to get prompted that we should. So the rest of you, could you just stretch out a hand towards them so we're all involved? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these. Is there any men? Yeah, come on. Stand with me. Just do this then. Thank you, Lord, for these sisters and brothers who are really called into this ministry. Would you give them, Lord, that those ears to hear, those eyes to see, those hearts that are set to obey and to pray and to do what you have called them to do in that place of warfare, in that place of often being unseen, but having to battle through, in that place of being misunderstood. Lord, would you give them not only an even greater anointing to hear and see and to pray, but would you let them know, Lord, deeply know that you guard their backs, that you are before them, behind them, above them, and below them. Would you, Lord, take them deeper and deeper into that place so that the prayers of God's people are targeted for the glory of your name, Lord, for the advance of your kingdom. Lord, there will be a great outpouring of your spirit in this town and in these communities represented here to come afresh, Holy Spirit, with a fire from on high. The fire, Lord, from on high, that they might raise holy hands and Joshua would advance in the valley. We need the intercessors. We need the women and the men of God who will do this work, this unseen work. Be encouraged. The Spirit's just resting on you. Just rest. Just receive Him. Receive Him. Receive Him. Receive Him. Particularly where you've been misunderstood. The prophetic people are often misunderstood. Sometimes we get it wrong, but we're often misunderstood. And I pray that the Lord would heal any place where you feel misunderstood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the people. We're all called to pray, but this is a particular area of just really praying about what the Lord has put on our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. And just adding to that word about apprentices, that we would be people that, you would be people that raise up others. School, teach, disciple, apprentice, others, to help them learn good ways of hearing the Lord's voice and good ways of expressing that, so that we are not manipulative, so that we are not in any way spiritually abusive. Would you give good practice, Lord, as we've been thinking about it? We ask in the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. The Lord's ministry team just go on receiving. Great. We're going to do some practical stuff. So we've looked at quite a lot of the scriptures. I've told some stories. We've talked about some practical things about how we hear. We've talked about the fact that let me just emphasize again 1 Corinthians, where it talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, we see in part and we prophesy in part. So you won't hear me, as I said this morning, saying, God says, in the prophetic context, you will hear me offering on the palm of my hand, this is what I sense the Lord is saying, and it's your job to discern, your job to test and to weigh in company with others. So often we do this Christian life individually, don't we? And actually what we're called to do is to do it together. Is it Colossians 3:15 talks about, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, plural. So if you feel particularly a directional word or the Lord speaking to you strongly about something, it's really important that you don't just go off on some, down some route. You need to test it out. Get godly people, mature people, people you trust around you, who say, well, let's discern this together. Because one of the reasons spiritual gifts aren't used as much as they should be in the life of the church is because there's all sorts of nonsense that goes on. And unfortunately, we can't get from the immature to the mature in one step. And that's life, isn't it? That's all of life. We have to go step by step, and sometimes we will fall and stumble. But what we can do is make sure that when, as a parent, a small child falls, at least they're falling on the lawn in the back garden or something, not into the river. You know, we need to make ways of good practice. And Paul was very aware of this. You look to 1 Thessalonians, a letter by Paul, Silas, and Timothy. It says in verse 19 of chapter 5, do not put out the Spirit's fire. That's the temptation, isn't it, when we see stuff we don't understand or is not handled well. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. There needs to be some testing. Let's not quench the Spirit, though. This is such an issue, I think, in the life of the local church, that we quench the Spirit because, frankly, we like control. I was talking this morning a bit about the ego. My ego was offended the first time I saw a miracle because I couldn't do it myself. I couldn't understand it. And so I reacted against it. Let's not be control freaks. Now, I quite like having this in my hand because I'm in control. You know, it's like the television zapper, isn't it? If it gets lost, I know where it'll be, my chair. Because I like having the zapper. But do not quench the Spirit. The Spirit of God is always, he's both beautiful, winsome, good, holy, but he's extremely committed to not leaving us as we are. Extremely committed. That's a real challenge for our ego. Don't be surprised if you feel, oh my goodness, but I want and I don't want both at the same time to be more like Jesus. Does that make sense? You know, the new renewed me, you know, I want to be like Jesus, but I also know that's going to mean letting go of some idols in order to receive the grace that God has got for me. In order to receive everything he's got for us, we have to let go of some stuff. And we don't like that, and we tend to quench the life of the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, especially so often when we get started and it's immature. And you know, I don't claim to be mature in these things. I claim to be someone who's passionate about pursuing this because of all the reasons I gave this morning. But when we see gifts expressed in a way that's not very mature, we kind of go, really? Let's play safe. As if studying the Bible was safe. Because it's not. Test them or hold on to what is good. You know, if I was to prophesy over David now, I'm not saying for a minute that it would be 100% God. In the Old Testament, if a prophet was a false prophet, they stoned them to death. That's not what we're going to practice in a minute. We're talking here of the more body of Christ wide ability to hear God's voice, where we will see in part and we will prophesy in part. And I don't know, 60% of what I say may be the Lord, and 40% may be me. So I need to make sure that the 40% is me, is, to go back to this morning, encouraging, comforting, strengthening, and as best I know, building up in Christ. That's why if it's a directional word, and it often isn't, it's usually an affirming word, confirming word, an identity word. But if it's a directional word, go off to France and be a missionary, I need to be very, very careful how I offer that word. Even those of you that are, you know, identified by the body of Christ in this place as being prophetic, we've all got to walk with the humility of we might have it wrong. Just as the preacher might have the sermon wrong, the interpretation wrong. We have to walk in humility. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to press into this. Remember, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So we're going to have to test. We're going to have to hold on to that, which is good. How are we going to do that? Well, here's some ways. I'm not going to go talk about this. You can just photograph it or write it down. One question is it consistent with Scripture? Actually, I did this quite a long way, time ago. I don't think I'd put it quite like that. I mean, if it's inconsistent with Scripture, clearly don't share it. You know, if it's like, you know, the Lord says he's going to deal with your financial difficulties by you robbing a bank, it's clearly not consistent with Scripture. I mean, that's a ridiculous example. But so there needs to be consistency with Scripture. But actually, we need to be able to say the God we know in Jesus Christ, who is the supreme, the coined impression, the exact representation of the Father, could we expect Jesus to say whatever we're saying? Does that make sense? Rather than, because Scripture, depends on which bit of Scripture, how we're interpreting it, all of this is a little bit messy, but is there some sort of consistency with what we would expect from God and His Word? Is it fruit, faith, and liberty? You can look at these yourself later on. As I said this morning, is there edification? Often there's a resonance with the recipient spirit. So I told you about Lorraine this morning when I said about I'm a Christian and this worry about her struggling with alcohol. There was a clear resonance within her spirit. She began to weep. And sometimes we see that. But sometimes we don't. None of these are foolproof. I always want to ask, does this sound like Jesus and will it exalt Jesus? Will whatever we're doing in life, actually not just the prophetic, are we likely to be exalting Jesus? Just take a look at that. So, I'm going to be really practical. Can I just use someone as a... Who wants to be a guinea pig in a minute? Just going to try something out. Okay, first hand up. Okay, yeah.